And what is going on, everybody? PJ Zucco here with you today, along with Cam Usery on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source. Christian Gokel out. He had a little fun today that we'll talk about in a little bit, and certainly excited to get in all that and talk to hear from him about that, what he was able to get into today there in Savannah. But Cam and PJ here with you today, and man, it has been a crazy, like, 24, 48 hours in the world of sports. There is so much going on right now and so much that has happened since we've been on the show. Obviously, yesterday, Braves able to end that series with the Mets with a big win. Austin Riley hitting home runs all over the place lately. I think that five in the last six games for Austin Riley, and the Braves continuing this string of win one, lose one since the All-Star break. But as we'll see here in a second, I think the Braves have finally, and the organization as a whole, has kind of made their decision on where they're going to go for 2021 and what they're going to do with the rest of this year, and that is go for it. That is absolutely go for it. Very active here at the trade deadline, Cam, and we'll certainly talk about that as well. I wanted to just, with so much happening, a quick synopsis, like a quick rundown of everything we have in front of us, because there's so much. So going to go through that really quick just to get everyone caught up to speed with all the big headlines, and then obviously dive into them more as the show goes on. But guys, we have the Braves, again, being very active at the trade deadline. They've acquired outfielder Eddie Rosario from the Indians in exchange for Pablo Sandoval. So Pablo Sandoval, he was a spark at the beginning of the season, came up with some big home runs and things like that, but has not been hitting well over the past few months for the Braves. So good to bring in some new blood, I think, in the outfield there. And Adam Duvall coming back to Atlanta from Miami for outfielder Alex Jackson. Duvall with the Braves over the past few years, signed a contract with Miami this year, but now comes back with the Braves via that trade. Again, we'll dive into more of that here in a second. But college football, it's done. The deal is done. Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. They accept the SEC's invitation to the conference, but they will join in 2025. We'll see if it lasts that long. I can't imagine that not being sped up at some point, but is it 100% final now? I guess we'll see. I can't imagine sitting around for that long, playing 4 years in kind of a lame duck conference situation there for Texas and Oklahoma. Big night in the NBA draft there last night as well. Cade Cunningham going first overall to the Pistons. Davion Mitchell, former Liberty County star, getting drafted by the Sacramento Kings in the top 10. And the Hawks coming away with a big draft with Jalen Johnson out of Duke and Sharif Cooper out of Auburn. And some big things there. Huge NBA trade yesterday. Russell Westbrook, now a Laker, in exchange for KCP, Montrezl Harrell, and Kyle Kuzma. And hey, how about some soccer news there as well, as the Olympics still going on strong and the U.S. women's national team soccer team going on strong as well. They defeat Netherlands to advance to the semifinals this morning with a 2-2 draw, 4-2 in penalties. And hey, how about the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup as well, beating Qatar 1-0 and advancing into the Gold Cup final against Mexico here in a few days. So, man, wrap your head around all that. We have some big moments from Aaron Rodgers, I think, at the press conference a few days ago as well.
Yeah.
We got some Madden ratings that have come out over the past few days for gamers like you and me. I know that that's been a little bit controversial, but man, it's been a wild few days. I guess first of all, the most recent thing, right? The most recent thing is the Braves making those moves, trying to bolster up their outfield and make a run at this thing. Apparently the organization thinks, all right, this team is good enough. If we get them a little bit of a spark, we can make a run and possibly win the division. What say you with what we've seen over the past few days?
As they should. They shouldn't hesitate to go all in and try to win because they're only four games behind. If they were 10 games behind, then you try to sell at the trade deadline and move forward to the next season. But winning this series yesterday against the Mets, going 3-2 against the Mets, which they could have easily went 5-0 and probably been a game or two behind the Mets, and now you're really buying in. But they got upgrades, sending Pablo Sandoval to the Cleveland Indians. That's a big one because now you're getting an upgrade with batting average, a little bit more consistency at the plate. things of that nature. And it's a good move for the Braves, but it's all about, can you get over 500? There's not going to be a team in the MLB that makes the playoffs, wins their division, nor the wild card under 500. Can you make that jump, get over 500, and then get a few games over 500? Not just a game, but we're talking about 5 to 10 and taking that lead over the Mets. That's left to be untold, but right now you got to feel happy. You're just one game under 500. You're playing the Brewers in the little series right now. A good team, good matchup. A good barometer to see where your new acquisitions and what they can do in these next up-and-coming games. It's a big stretch for the Braves, but something to look forward to.
Yeah, no doubt. And like you, I'm kind of in that same boat, whereas if the Braves come in into back from the All-Star break, and they drop a few more games than they have, you know, I'm not going to say they're less consistent because they're already inconsistent, but if they were losing more games or even more inconsistent than they are right now, yeah, I'd be kind of ready to pack it up and say, all right, that's fine. Let's prepare some other guys for next season and go from there. Maybe try and, you know, get you know, do some different things. But at the end of the day, they've done enough to keep the hope alive. Now, you need a spark, right? You need these guys to come in and really make an impact. As we mentioned, you're never obviously, you lose Acuna a few weeks ago, and you're never going to be able to replace his production and what he brings to the field, but you can at least try and help as much as you can. And, I think these acquisitions are fantastic. Obviously, Eddie Rosario right now, coming off an injury, has been dealing with an abdominal strain since July 6th, so we'll see when he's able to get back on the field and consistently, but he's obviously having a really solid season, batting .254 and 46 RBIs, and Pablo Sandoval had just kind of completely fallen off with what he was able to do. So, yeah, I especially really, really like that move. Really like the Adam Duvall move as well, because you're bringing back a guy that had a good connection with the team, had a good connection with the dugout over the last few years, and it shouldn't be, I don't think, that seamless of a transition for him to get back in with the Braves and start doing big things like he was last year, hitting .237 there last year, 33 RBIs for the Braves in 2020. Had a game where he hit three home runs, I believe, as well for the Braves last year, so I think those two guys can definitely be sparks for the Braves as we round out this season and try and make this jump. And, you know, at the end of the day, my competitive spirit, I guess, is ignited a little bit in this as well, because you never want to see your team, I don't know, with me, I never want to see my team pack it up and say, all right, it's done for the season, especially when you're four games out, you're this close to 500. It doesn't matter what you've done over the past two or three weeks. It matters what you can do moving forward. And seeing the Braves active and upgrading right here at the trade deadline and trying to get over that hump is something that I very, very much wanted to see, especially too. I mean, you take, like you said, we could have gone 5-0 there against the Mets. Just need to get more consistency, I think, with the bats. The pitching has really rounded out, and starting pitching has been very good for the Braves lately. We'll see if that continues, again, with a good series against the Brewers coming up. But I've been saying it for a long time now. If you can just get these bats a little bit more consistent, because I heard it in the broadcast yesterday, a few different guys saying, well, you just never really know what to expect from the Braves this year. And I would argue you do. You're going to have a game where you score 9 to 10 runs, and then you're going to have a game where you score 1 or 2. And if being inconsistent was consistent, it would be the Braves, right? So the only thing you need is just a little bit more activity from your bats during those games. And I think even with a shaky bullpen from time to time, there certainly are guys that come out of the bullpen that you kind of hold your breath when they come out. But if you can just make those games not 2-1, not 1-0 that you're losing, but just get a couple more runs in there, a little bit more consistency from your bats, a little bit more small ball with your base running and whatnot, you can pull out a ton of those victories, and we could see this team really, I think, turn the corner and do some big things throughout the rest of the year. So that's my hope anyway. You know, I think that's all Braves fans' hope as well. Have 500 still just in sight, and hopefully these moves are able to do exactly that and give the Braves, especially that batting order in those tough games, that spark they need to kind of round the corner.
Yeah, see, I'm excited about this because I'm a competitive person. Yeah. Just being from Atlanta, seeing Atlanta teams, I've seen Atlanta teams give up. I've seen Atlanta teams be competitive and not make it over the hump my whole life. And I've seen Atlanta teams just not make it. And when I mean not make it, just don't compete for years. I've seen the Falcons in their dark days, the Braves in their dark days, Atlanta. And now, for the first time outside of the Falcons, but I think they're coming up too. Now you're seeing all three Atlanta teams kind of, it's excitement around the city. It's that buzz. And the Braves were just in the conference championship game last year.
Yeah.
I think people forget that. This is not a Braves team that just lost in the wild card, went home and said, okay, we'll pack it up. They were one game away from the World Series.
They were.
Against possibly one of the best teams of all time in the Dodgers. I mean, they had some nice players in L.A., nice team in L.A. still, and you were one game away, up 3-1.
I was about to say, yeah, and like a lot of people, I know I joke a lot and bring stuff up to be funny or whatever, but that's just because I'm a heartbroken sports fan too. But I say this in a positive way. You were up 3-1 against the Dodgers, man.
Up 3-1.
You were one win away, so while I know that doesn't seem like a positive thing to say because of what happened, you were right there.
Up
so, I mean, it's not that this team can't do it.
Up 3-1 without Soroka, who was probably going into that season your best pitcher.
Right.
Or the first or second best pitcher. Up 3-1, and now you come into this season. A lot of injuries. You lose your best player in Acuna, but you're still there. You haven't really missed necessarily a beat yet because where you're at now is where you was at when you had them.
True.
So you haven't missed a beat, and now you have significant upgrades. So it's left to be said. It's left to be untold, but – I'm excited to see what the Braves do. These new acquisitions, they could probably come in and bring a spark where you're a game under 500, you might go five games over 500. So we have a lot of baseball left, though, and so we'll have to see.
Exactly. Like you said, a lot of baseball left, just over 60 games left in the regular season for the Braves to get it done, and only four games back once again from the Mets. So we'll see how this Braves team is able to move forward past the All-Star break. Do they have more moves? I mean, the trade deadline's at 4 o'clock. Do they have more moves that they're looking for? I have to say, too, I think one of the best things about what they're doing at the trade deadline right now is they're not giving up a lot.
No,
I mean, they're not giving up any of their big notable players or anything like that. They're bringing – they're sending out some guys that have fallen off a little bit and getting back some good things in return.
Oh,
and exactly. So hopefully that's able to keep happening. We'll see if they make another move before 4 o'clock. But if they're done and settled right now, I think it's been a very solid trading season. If you also add in the acquisition of Jock Peterson a few weeks ago, about a week ago, to the Braves trade acquisitions for this year. But I know we're kind of sneaking it in here before the commercial break, but obviously, another huge piece of news to get to today, and this really just putting a bow on it, making it official. But Texas, Oklahoma, officially joining the SEC and accepting the invitation to join the SEC. Still labeled as doing so in 2025, though. We'll see what happens with that whole situation if they play four more years in the Big 12. What happens with the Big 12, obviously. We'll get into all that, but I think that kind of the biggest – It's done. It's final. It's going to happen. So we can stop talking about if it is and whatnot. Obviously, I think the biggest questions moving forward are, does it stay 2025? And how now does the conference restructure with their alignment? With do they go to the pod system? Do they still 18. Split it too?
Yeah.
Or something like that? I know most likely it's going to be the pod system. And then, of course, that's just the questions in the SEC. Now you have everything outside of the SEC to worry about, too. What happens with college football? What happens with the Big 12? What happens with everybody else in possible expansion? Going to be very interesting to see. But, hey, SEC, Oklahoma, Texas, two more blue bloods for the SEC conference to compete with this moving forward.
It gets harder and harder.
Yeah.
It gets harder and harder. The SEC gets richer and richer, harder and harder. But, I mean, that's what we love for college football, the competition and – hopefully they could bring back that old tradition that I liked back in the day, the 2010, it's the kind of 2015 era, 2008 where college football was at its peak. I hope they could bring that back, but it's a new day, it's a new age. It's a new age, so I'm excited.
For sure. I mean, I would argue it depends on who your fan who your fandom lies with you know, when the peak of college football and what age you love was. I mean, I didn't necessarily love 2018. Yeah. I was a Georgia fan,
I admit. But, I mean, the Todd Gurley days were still good for me. Love Todd Gurley. That kick return against Clemson. I love Todd Gurley, but
for sure.
Just watching, like, Menzel is my favorite player of all time.
Oh, man,
watching
nasty.
Guys like that, Tebow, who I think is the greatest college football player ever, Tebow, those cats, Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram.
Cam Newton.
The good days, woo! Cam Newton, his 24-0 comeback in the Iron Bowl. You can't beat that. So it's so many good players and good teams back then. I hope we could get back to that.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you. I was really just joking around. We've been spoiled with the kind of college football we've been able to see over our years, for sure, and especially in that time frame. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Secretly, I think at the end of the day, the SEC is just – they're just trying to get everyone, and so they can say they win every national championship ever. I mean, that's pretty much what they're trying to do in my book.
That's what's going to happen, yeah.
Just take it all over. But, hey, at the end of the day, it's going to be fun to watch for sure. And Texas-Oklahoma joining the SEC officially in 2025 or sooner. We'll see how all that works out. But we'll come back. Like we said, a ton of other news to talk about in the sports world. Obviously, you have the NBA draft last night, a local product being picked in the top 10. You have the Hawks getting stronger, hopefully, and a huge trade in the NBA as well, making another, or adding to, I should say, another super team out west. We'll come back, talk about all that here on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source on ESPN Radio. Welcome back here on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source. PJ Zucco, Cam Ushery here with you. Christian Gokel with the day off, having a great time golfing with the Savannah State head coaches there up in Savannah. So having a great time there this morning, I'm sure. And I certainly appreciate him going up there and doing that and having a great time and giving us the floor here to talk a little sports with you today, and certainly plenty to talk about. We went over most of the main headlines there a few seconds ago with college football, Texas-Oklahoma joining the SEC officially, the MLB trade deadline, the Atlanta Braves making some news. But also last night, the NBA draft there, and Cade Cunningham going number one out of Oklahoma State to the Detroit Pistons. Former Liberty County star here in Georgia, Davion Mitchell, drafted 9th overall by the Sacramento Kings. And certainly, man, happy for him going 9th overall in the top 10 lottery pick. We'll see what he can do with the Kings, though. I know the Kings kind of been struggling for a while now. Hopefully he can get out there and turn some things around. You know what I mean? I know he's going to turn some heads. Hopefully he turns some things around there for the Kings.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The Kings have the longest playoff drought, 15 years in the NBA. But I'm happy for him. And the reason why I say this, people probably don't know this. He started at Auburn.
Yeah.
And he had to transfer to Baylor because of playing time issues, things of that nature. But he started at Auburn, went to Baylor. COVID probably stopped them from getting another national championship. They were the best team before COVID.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. They were better that year before this year.
Yeah.
But a national champion, played himself into a top 10 pick, great on-ball defender, turned into a good offensive player. So I'm happy for him. And I'm just, in general, happy for all the guys that got drafted. That's a big accomplishment. Only 60 guys in the world every year
Absolutely.
Get drafted to the NBA. Prestigious thing.
You say the world too, man. I mean, because there are plenty of international picks there last night. Yep. And I think that is something that I'm thankful. I think we're seeing more of with the success that international players have had in the NBA over the past 10 to 15 years. And something I've always been kind of surprised at with international players, sometimes getting a chance and really being able to show out. But, man, they've been playing really well over the past 10 to 15 years in the NBA, and more of those guys getting drafted. And like you said, you know, when you're able to get drafted in the NBA draft, it's 60 spots, and it's the whole world. It's college basketball. It's different countries, different leagues, and now the G League as well, being able to get drafted out of. So such an accomplishment just to hear your name called, especially there in the top 10. And, I know he wears that number 45 there at Baylor, winning the national championship. You know, Auburn's kicking themselves for letting him go.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, seeing those comparisons last night just the video comparison of him and Donovan Mitchell is so like extremely similar with their play styles and just with how intense they are, their defensive prowess as well. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see him play with the Kings. No doubt about that. But Hawks making some moves there last night, getting some we were talking about it during the break, some steals there from their draft picks with Jalen Johnson out of Duke and Sharif Cooper out of Auburn. And Cooper, an absolute baller when you look at his stat line. But let's start with Johnson. Is not a lot of people maybe know about him from Duke because he only played about 13 or 14 games, I believe, yep, before opting out of the season, was dealing with a bit of a foot injury as well, and just chose to opt out of the rest of 2020. But he was really a really good all-around player for Duke overall, and it comes in as a forward for the Hawks. So we'll see where he kind of slides into that rotation. You think he might be taking Cam Reddish's spot, maybe, if Reddish ends up heading out from the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, it was a great selection. They got a steal, like we talked about on the break. This guy is a top-five talent. He was supposed to be a top-10 pick before he opted out because of the foot injury and things like that nature, COVID. Duke wasn't all that great this year, so that led to that.
True.
But he's a steal, man. I mean, if you look at his body frame, the kid's huge. He looks like a grown man already at the age of 19. He was a high school star, All-American, went to Mount Vert, transferred back to school, things of that nature. I mean, they got a steal. The Hawks are doing what they're doing. They're doing great. They got two uber-talented players. Sharif Cooper is an uber-talented kid. He's 6'1", a little frail, but 6'1". He missed some of this season due to ineligibility stuff. But, I mean, he's a first-round talent. So now you got somebody that could be the backup point guard behind Trey. And then Jalen Jackson, I mean, he's a steal. And he's gonna take some good minutes up from Cam Reddish because I think the Hawks will get rid of Cam Reddish. Not saying he's a bad player, but, you know, his contract extension coming up, and you got to handle Trey and DeAndre Hunter, so, and John Collins.
Yeah, absolutely. So got to balance all that. But you mentioned Cooper there out of Auburn. Excuse me, sorry. You talk about a type of floor general type of guard, like you said, maybe coming in for Trey at some points, and he can score too. 20 points per game there in 2020, 8 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game. So, man, Sharif Cooper, a guy that can go out there and really, really fill it up from the point guard position and also distribute the ball well. So, should be a really good ball movement type of guard, scoring type of point guard for that second unit for the Hawks. And something hopefully you don't see. I mean, you're going to have a little fall off when Trae Young goes out of the game, but hopefully you just don't see that much.
Yeah, and in the non-COVID year, Sharif Cooper is a first-round pick.
Yeah.
In the non-COVID year. He's one of the best high school point guards to ever play the game at McEachern when they went undefeated a year or two ago, won the national championship, things of that nature. He's a great point guard. He's going to be a good backup for Trae Young. Could go in there and learn from Trae. Who better to learn from Trae Young? A miniature point guard. The same size as you, 6'1", frail. Both kind of went to college. Trae Young averaged 27-8. Sharif, 20-8. I'm excited for the Hawks. I still think they need to go out there and get a big fish. But as far as young players and developing them, they've done a great job at it. And these two guys, they're going to fit right in with that system.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Looking forward to seeing how they fit in. And we've been talking about it and mentioning it. I know something that you can't wait to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Huge trade in the NBA yesterday. Not only the NBA draft, right? Huge trade right before the draft started. Russell Westbrook, now a Los Angeles Laker, as the Lakers send Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, and a first-round pick to the Washington Wizards. So Bradley Beal also expressing he has, quote-unquote, no desire to leave the Wizards. So those guys are gonna fill in and most likely gonna try and make the playoffs there with the Wizards. But man, the big package, the big part of this deal, Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers, uniting with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I'm insanely excited, tweeted it last night, just about the sheer athleticism that we're gonna see,
man,
on the court, the floor vision, the passing ability that we've seen from Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, I think is going to be absolutely nasty. But also, yeah, I mean, I saw something earlier that they met apparently a little while ago and said all agreed if this happens that they would set their egos aside and learn how to play with each other on the court, like that Miami team had to when they got together. We'll see if they're able to do that. At the end of the day, if they can, this can be a superpower type of basketball team.
A lot to say about this one. PJ, I'll start with this. If Brooklyn is healthy and the Lakers are healthy, this will probably be the best finals we'll ever see in our lives.
That'd be incredible.
I've been alive for 23 years, seen some great ones. 08, Celtics, Lakers, 2010, 2016, Cavs, Warriors. This will be the best one because you'll have six Hall of Famers, but not Hall of Famers first ballot. Six first ballot Hall of Famers going head to head, 3-on-3. You have some beef between LeBron and Kyrie. It's not said, but it's out there. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we know Kevin Durant and Westbrook. But does this make the Lakers the favorite? Yes and no. If the Lakers go get shooters, it's over. There's no way you stop LeBron and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. They're the more physical team. They're the better defensive team. But if it's presently constructed right now and you add who I've been hearing, Carmelo Anthony, Rudy Gay, things like that, and not necessarily a knockdown shooter, then you're kind of even between Brooklyn and the Lakers because Brooklyn can kill you with their offense. They're lethal. They're going to be the most lethal offensive team, but the Lakers are going to be the most athletic basketball team we've ever seen. LeBron in year 19, watch out. He's had a lot of time to rest.
Yeah.
Watch out. Anthony Davis, reports are saying he wants to play center. That leads me to believe he's going to get his body right. Watch out for that. And then Russell Westbrook, this is the first time we've ever heard him say, ego set aside, let me bring a championship back to my hometown. It's a lot of pressure on him. I'm excited. I'm ready for this NBA season now. I think this is going to be a great season if everybody can stay healthy. And wow, I couldn't believe we pulled this off, and we didn't have to give up much at all. KCP injured last year in the playoffs. Montrezl Harrell, we didn't play him. Kuzma, he played, but we didn't notice he was even there. So
that happened a lot with him. That happened a lot with him, sadly. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't give up much. So I'm ready. I am definitely ready for this season.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. And you hate to say this about a guy getting traded or whatever, but I'm excited and kind of happy to see the Kyle Kuzma experiment end with the Lakers. I feel like they've been as patient as they could be with him, if not more patient than they needed to be before they ended up moving him. Obviously, you have the whole thing with Harrell and KCP getting injured there last year as well. No one can deal with that. But like you said, I don't know. The whole ego thing with me is interesting because with Russell Westbrook, he's an exciting guy. He's a guy that is going to be energetic and jawing at the fans and getting after it with the fans and things like that in a good way. But I've never seen his style of play and everyone looks at it as you're just padding stats and you're just strictly out there for yourself padding stats trying to hit the record books and things like that. With the way that he plays, I don't necessarily see that. I mean, sometimes, he takes some bad shots, but every NBA player does. At the end of the day, he's out there getting assists, passing the ball really well, passing up some shots he should take to get his guys open. If anything, that passing ability into some of his choices kind of reminds me of what we see from LeBron, where he could obviously force up a shot, but ends up passing it instead. And obviously the rebounding ability from the guard position has always been impressive to me as well. So I don't know. I think we'll have to see. Will the egos get in the way and prove me wrong? Maybe. But I've never been a guy that has looked at Russell Westbrook and the way that he plays and how he's able to, share the basketball and go for rebounds and things like that and thought he's selfish. He has a big E. I don't know. That's just never been me. Like I said, maybe I'll be proven wrong here as the season goes on. And if they implode, it is what it is. As you talk about with Anthony Davis possibly moving in the five, I think when you construct the rest of this team, you definitely need some shooters.
Yeah.
And you definitely need to fill out those spots. I think not done with the moves yet going off of the team as well because I think you need to move away from Marc Gasol. Was it an interesting idea to bring him in? Sure. I think you tried to redo what you did the year before with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. You just did it with the wrong personnel. I think you move away from Marc Gasol, get a little bit more athletic there at that kind of like four position for the Lakers and the backup four position as well. And we'll see what ends up happening there.
Schroeder is still out there.
That
sign and trade is definitely up for grabs. He's still out there. So
no doubt.
It's a lot of things they could do with this team. But talking about the triple-double thing with Westbrook, his team record is more successful when he gets triple-doubles.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that. It's right? 2 times more wins when he gets triple-doubles. When he gets a triple-double, his team basically always wins when he gets that. So – say what you want. He comes to L.A. with LeBron and AD. He's not the second option. He is the third option. Anthony Davis is not an egotistic guy. We've noticed that. And LeBron James, he's in year 19. He knows, okay, these young guys behind me. He said, man, let's go and get this last ring for L.A. and, you know, see what we can do. So I don't think egos will clash at all.
Exactly. Again, Cam backing me up there a little bit. When your record is better, when you get a triple-double, how is that selfish?
Yep.
How is that selfish? There how is go. That egotistical? I don't see it. I don't see it. But we'll come back, talk more about all this news breaking all around the world of sports, some NBA news as well, an interesting press conference there from Aaron Rodgers a few days ago regarding the Packers and everything that's gone on this offseason. A lot to talk about, including more, but huge Braves moves right next to the trade deadline here as well, coming up at 4 o'clock. But we'll come back, talk about all that here on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source on ESPN Radio. Welcome back. Second Down here on ESPN Radio, all presented by the Uniform Source. PJ Zucco, Cam Ursary here with you on the show, and Christian Gokel taking the day off. Had a busy morning out there with some of the Savannah State coaches and football coaches there this morning, and certainly had a great time out there, I'm sure, but allowing us to have some time here talking sports here with you, all the big headlines throughout the show with you over the past, 24, 48 hours. The sports world has it's been all over the place, man, with the MLB trade deadline, Braves making moves, acquiring Eddie Rosario from the Indians, and also Adam Duvall coming back to the Braves from Miami. College football, you have Texas and Oklahoma officially joining the SEC now in 2025. The NBA draft there last night and all those trades that happened yesterday, including Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers now. But some NFL news as well. I know on the more gaming front, you have Madden coming out with all their ratings and whatnot. And one of the more surprising ones, I think, not Patrick Mahomes being the top quarterback and being a 99. Aaron Rodgers, though, down at 96. Kind of surprising there. But the now definitely quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, at least for the next year, had some things to say when he got back to a training camp for the Packers and had his first press conference. There was very open and very honest and poignant about how the offseason has gone with the moves and with his conversations with Green Bay and, kind of just laying it all out there. One of the big talking points, I think, was him mentioning, they drafted my replacement. He straight up said that in the press conference, they drafted my replacement. That was a big thing, instead of going out and getting someone else there in the first round. So he's like, to me, that was a pretty big sign that things were changing. And now coming back with the Packers, at least for this year, he talked about wanting to be in those meetings regarding player personnel and bringing people back. They got back Randall Cobb for him, and I'm sure he was very happy about that. But he also mentioned, hey, man, I feel like I could have been a big help when we talked about bringing back guys that might have played with us in the past because, one, they want to play with me.
Yeah.
Two, we have good chemistry together. Guys like Jordy Nelson, who could have ended his career as a Packer. Guys like Charles Woodson, who could have ended his career as a Packer but went out with the Raiders and then ended up playing really well for a few years. Wasn't on the downside of his career like the Packers thought and gave him up for a lot less money. So, man, Aaron Rodgers really laying it all out there, and I guess when you're playing with house money, to a certain extent, you can. I mean, what are they going to do? It's Aaron Rodgers. They've been begging to get him back for this year all offseason, right? So, I don't know, man. I know you can look at this a lot of different ways, but to me, it's refreshing. At least we're getting the truth, and he's just kind of laying it all out.
It's so disrespectful how they treat this man.
Like, yeah, how they treat him. Okay, yeah. I was about to say, if you're saying that about him.
No, how they treat this man. Aaron Rodgers is my favorite football player ever.
Yeah.
Just the number. 48 touchdowns, 5 picks this year.
Insane.
And yet, you go this year, you don't draft him a wide receiver in the first round again. You draft a cornerback. Our guy from Georgia. But you draft a cornerback, though. They haven't drafted him a first-round wide receiver his whole entire career. We're talking about
– that's mind-blowing.
One of the top five greatest quarterbacks ever, probably the most talented quarterback to ever play the game of football, and he's never thrown more than 10 touchdowns to a first-round wide receiver. That's crazy in itself, and he knows this is his last year. He's came out. It's my last year. Him and Devontae Adams made their little Instagram post on their story with – Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen insinuating the last dance. This is their last dance. So I'm going to come out on a limb, and I'm going to say I have the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
And I say that because of what you just said.
They're in the NFC, too.
Yeah.
That means
they got to beat Tampa.
Okay. All right.
I think if it wasn't for a few bad calls last year with Tampa, with the holding penalty and the Hail Mary at halftime, you probably see the Packers in the Super Bowl, but like you said, they're playing with house money. When you're playing with house money, you have nothing to lose. If Aaron Rodgers goes 9-7 this year, nobody's saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is they know it's his last year. Oh, he didn't care his last year. But if Aaron Rodgers comes out here and does the same thing he did last year, and he has his team back in the NFC Championship, we're going to talk about how great he is. He's going to play Tampa in the NFC Championship again. If he gets that rematch, whether it's in Lambeau, if it's in Lambeau, it plays to his advantages in the cold. If it's in Tampa, it's hot. So it's not like he's playing in a super hostile environment. If he gets that chance, I have the Packers going back to the Super Bowl and playing either the Chiefs or the Titans. And I'm prepared. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's going to come out here and say, you forgot who I am? You disrespect me again after what I just did last year?
Yeah.
Let me show you one more last time and show you what you're going to be missing for these next couple of years.
Absolutely. And, you say that, too. I feel like a lot of people forget just how good he was last year just because all the contract stuff. And, of course, you have Mahomes and Brady in the Super Bowl duking it out and whatever. Aaron Rodgers was a monster last year and always has been. I completely agree with you there. When you talk about pure – just skill level and talent and what a quarterback brings to the table, I'm picking Aaron Rodgers every single time with just everything he brings from the passing ability, what he brings to the game, just overall skill level and athleticism. I'm picking Aaron Rodgers every single time. And we'll see if he's able to come out and do the same thing this year. A lot of people also forget kind of the destruction of the coaching, the calls, the play calls there late in the game, and the time management, clock management, things like that with the Packers kind of being aggressive, I think down by 2 possessions, being aggressive the whole way down and then electing to kick the field goal. Everything went wrong after that, and man, it was rough. If I have Aaron Rodgers there, I'm putting the ball in his hands 10 out of 10 times, no doubt about that. So crazy stuff, but man, Aaron Rodgers, I love his attitude right now. I love what he's bringing to the table with the Packers, bringing back Randall Cobb. I can see it. I'll say that. I don't know if I agree with you fully. I can see them in the Super Bowl, no doubt, though.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they all mesh. That's the main thing, right? You have all this kind of attitude and whatever, and for once, I like it. Normally, I'm not the kind of guy that likes this kind of thing, but, man, if anyone's going to be like that, let it be Aaron Rodgers with just, like you said, kind of the disrespect that he's gotten from the organization and from just what they've put around him over the past, 7 to 8 years. But, man, hopefully they come out and everything's clicking and we see Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers have one last dance and make one last big run. And at the end of the day, I know the Falcons, all the Falcons fans out there are saying, at our expense? No. Hopefully not at their expense. Hopefully the Falcons go out and do their thing as well. But Aaron Rodgers is a bad, bad man, and he's ready to get back on the football field, no doubt. We'll come back, close it all out here on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source on ESPN Radio. And welcome back. It's Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source here on ESPN Radio. PJ Zuko, Cam Urshery here with you. Christian Gokel out for today, but we'll be back with him, obviously, hosting the show early next week, and certainly looking forward to that. But closing out here on a Friday, and some big news all around the sports world. with everything going on. Of course, one more hour in the trade deadline, and Three and Out will have you completely covered on that as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline in the MLB. The Braves already making some moves, acquiring Eddie Rosario and Adam Duvall once again, coming back to the Braves. College football, Texas and Oklahoma officially accepting their invitation to the SEC in 2025. And obviously some huge moves all around the NBA last night with all the trades in the NBA draft. Three and Out just around the corner. They'll have their reactions to that as well. As just some huge news all over the place, man. And really looking forward to seeing what they say about all this at the end of the day. But we'll see. One more hour to go. Do you think the Braves are done? Do you think they make another move? I think they might be done.
I think they're done. They're fine with their team, and they feel like they have a solid core and can make a run with this thing. So I think they're done.
You rebuild the outfield there over the past few days with the big trades. Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario now, and Adam Duvall joining the Braves, and the organization putting everything behind these guys and saying, all right, you guys have proven that with the team we have, you can at least go 500. Let's get over the hump here, get over 500, and four games back of the Mets, let's get this spark going into the last 60 games of the season for the Braves. But once again, Christian Gokel will be back here with you on Monday. This has been PJ Zucco, Cam Ursary on Second Down, presented by the Uniform Source all across ESPN Radio and the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. Three and Out just after this.